The morning after my mother and sister's disappearance, I was dropped off at my father's home by Miss Michael. He lived in a remote location, with few neighbors and some pretty spacious woodland. His house was small, yet sizable, given that only he inhabited the home. My dad greeted me with a big hug before leading me to the room I'd be staying in. The room, I remember, was my old bedroom, prior to the divorce. From there, I unpacked my things while Dad was talking with Miss Michael. Their conversation was quiet and sounded slightly tense. I didn't know what they were discussing and wanted to listen in on them. But I didn't do that since I didn't want to get scolded. So, I just stuck to unpacking. By the time I had finished, Miss Michael had already left. I went downstairs and sat on the couch beside my dad, who had the news channel on. "I'm checking to see if there's any updates on your mother and Zalika," my dad explained, simultaneously turning up the volume on the TV. On screen was our local news reporter, Selena Shores, who was clearing her throat as she prepared to disclose the news. "The missing mother and her child, Abana and Zalika Johnson, have not been found, according to the local police department. A search was underway as of last night, and only Abana's vehicle, with a mysterious red powder within it, has been found. And to make things worse, more civilians have gone missing. 10-year-old James Brooke and his family, alongside 16-year-old Alyssa Keene, who was James' babysitter." Selena momentarily stopped talking as photos of the missing civilians and my family were displayed across the screen. Beside them, two phone numbers. The standard 911 number and another on contact if anyone had any ideas on where they could have gone, or maybe who had seen them. As a note from the local PD, they urge anyone to assist in finding them, or even starting a search party. "With such elusive disappearances, they need all the help they can get," Selena added as she switched her papers. In other news, multiple Disney cartoons ranging from Jake and the Neverland Pirates to Doc McStuffins have been abruptly canceled and pulled from airing, due to the ire of many children and their parents. The scene then cut to an annoyed mother standing in between her confused and embarrassed children. "Greedy idiots just can't take away my kids' cartoons. What else is supposed to keep them entertained while I have my me time?" she complained. The rest of the interviews were just agitated and confused parents before cutting back to Selena. On the phone is Mike Leto, the owner of the local television station. "Now, tell us, Mike, why are so many Disney cartoons being canceled?" And there was a momentary pause as if Mike was hesitant to speak. Well, I can't really speak for the other stations, but here I can tell you that it all comes down to budget cuts. Not many people would know this, but running cartoons is in fact very expensive. It's very taxing on us. So sometimes we have to can them if they get too expensive. Selena nodded. "I see. Could you tell us what constitutes a show becoming too expensive to run? Alongside why cartoons are the only ones that become too expensive?" If I had the time, I would detail all the information, but unfortunately, I'm pretty busy. I don't have time to talk on our little news show, and I have a television station to run. Thanks for having me, I guess." From there, Mike had abruptly hung up. "A real charmer, isn't he?" Selena snarked, then bidding the viewers farewell and ending the news segment. "Anything but charming," my dad joked. After the news segment went off, he handed the remote to me. "Turn to whatever cartoons you like. I need something to keep me from getting anxious about your mother and sister." Like I always did whenever there was an opportunity to watch television, I turned the channel to Disney XD. And it just so happened that my favorite ninja show was on. Ah, okay. So this is the ninja show you're so obsessed with? My dad inquired, looking in. It seems interesting. Luckily, we had turned to when the episode was just beginning, though not nearly enough to see the title. I really couldn't tell which episode it was. At first, I was just really excited to show the cartoon to my dad, but I almost hadn't noticed something strange. Everything else was completely normal, except Randy himself. He seemed off. His pupils were slightly dilated and were darting everywhere. It was almost like he didn't know where he was, or if he was afraid or something. None of the other characters paid any mind to his behavior, not even Howard. Though, to be fair, Howard's kind of a jerk, anyways. But even he should have noticed Randy was acting weird, being his best friend and all. It only lasted for a moment before he seemed to calm down. Besides Randy's sudden behavior, the episode played like any other. Though I still had trouble figuring out which episode was playing, I knew that they were in school, at least. I was ready to pick up the remote and check the guide until a ring at the door stopped me in my tracks. Can you pause it, please? I need to go check and see who's there, my dad had asked. Turning my attention back to the TV, where Randy was conveniently positioned to be facing me, his face had a neutral, if confused-ish look. The rest of his body was stiff. His pupils remained dilated and frightened. Of course, I knew he was only a cartoon, only an animated picture, with no thoughts of its own. Randy was only an imitation of a real human, and it was just my imagination running wild. Only my paranoia, and there was no chance that Randy could possibly be... He blinked. His thin flesh flickered over his eyes before looking back at me. The voices of my dad and him talking with a recognizable voice dissipated into silence. All my attention was turned to Randy. His pixels steadily spread across the screen as he tilted his head, continuing to stare at me. Parts of the frozen scene became marred with pixels as he continued to adjust his head to its previous position. The tension in his body relaxed. His cold stare turned to a warmer gaze, and still I remained unnerved. Then he spoke. Hey. His voice sounded hoarse, sad even. Are you real? The question was simple, yet so vague. What did he mean by me being real? Did he mean a real person? Something that didn't exist in his cartoon world? At such a young age, I couldn't wrap my head around it. So I just hesitantly answered, yes. Yes, I am real. I didn't know if it was the right answer or not. Pixels continued marring across the screen as he raised his brows. Huh. Was his only reply before the screen turned to static. Shara, what's going on in there? My dad came rushing back into the living room while I sat paralyzed on the couch. Shara, are you alright? He asked as he gently shook me back into reality. He grabbed the remote from my hand and turned the TV off. Turn it back on shortly after. The static dissipated and the show went back to normal. Everything went back to normal. When my dad asked what had happened, I just told him that I got scared while thinking of the missing people. Dad told me he was talking to Miss Michael about a couple of stuffed toys I left at home. I turned my attention to the television again, recognizing the episode to be New Kid on the Block. The scene was Randy within the Ninjanomicon. The Ninjanomicon was giving him a lesson. The lesson being, the most dangerous enemy often wears the mask of an ally.